You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. You know, Con, I just noticed that that ad is for retinitis pigmentosa, and that's the condition Jim had.
Yeah.
Have we been running that for a while?
I think so.
See, here's the interesting thing. I was blind before Jim showed up here and opened my eyes to that ad.
Wow.
You're trying not to laugh. Or whatever. Hey, folks, it is our second year anniversary. Here, we've been on the air for 2 years, and our first guest was a guy named Bill Leff. Bill is a friend of mine from our stand-up comedy days. He is also was a very talented and successful radio artist, and now he is the host of the nationally syndicated Me TV show, Tune In With Me, and he does a great job. If you haven't checked out the show, definitely do that. But he is here tonight to help us celebrate our soft celebration, if you will, of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe since he was our first guest. Bill, how are you?
Well, first of all, thank you, Pete. Second of all, it's not a soft anniversary. It to achieve 2 years in this business, that means something, Pete, and you did it. Congratulations.
Well, you got us off to a great start, Bill, and I know you're being a little sarcastic, and that's okay. You were on the radio for like, you're 84 years old, and people would never guess that.
I'm 85 years old. I just had a birthday. I'm 85. And do we have to have a Tony Goldwyn story tonight? Is that a must?
It's like passing a dish when you...
I've got one, but I don't know. Should I share it?
Absolutely.
All right, Tony Goldwyn, my wife and I had been house hunting for years. We finally found this house, the house we live in, but it was a little out of our means. And Tony Goldwyn, who I had never met before, bought my wife and I our house. He paid for the house.
He is a swell guy, isn't he?
What a nice man he is. He's a great actor, but an even nicer human being. We could all learn a lesson or two from Tony Goldwyn.
I cast him in a movie, Bill, and he just gave me a sawbuck one day when we were in the lunch line.
Out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. He's just that kind of guy. I mean, he didn't buy our house for us, but...
I tell you something? If somebody said to me, guess who gave me a sawbuck, my first guess would be Tony Goldwyn. I'd go, was it Tony Goldwyn? It was Tony Goldwyn. He's the most generous human being. Don't get me wrong. His acting credits are amazing. But to be that generous, I can't even imagine. Can you?
I know the guy from Ghost who was basically laundering money to be that generous off camera. I don't know if that's ever been achieved before.
It's never been done
shocking.
Before. That's the first.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
It says on you're joining us over the stream, and thank you for that, by the way. But it says Rodney Allen Rippey. Now, I don't know if you just mistyped or what happened there, but I just want to call your attention to that.
The keys, if you look at your keyboard, do you have a QWERTY keyboard right now in front of you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Look where the keys are for Rodney Allen Rippey and look where they are for Bill Leff. They're almost right next to each other. Sometimes they'll flip a little bit. Do you know who Rodney Allen Rippey is?
They are not at all close to the other keys, but I had to Google him, but I did. Yeah. I would love to hear your motivation for using the name.
He was very popular in 1966 or 67. He was a child actor and he did a bunch of Jack in the Box commercials and America fell in love with him. And I hear that Tony Goldwyn bought him a unicycle at some point. That's a story that I've heard.
Or a Jack in the Box taco.
Yep.
Wouldn't you
How
love it?
How are you, Pete? Forget about enough about me. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've been on the air for 2 years and I have a 20th anniversary movie. America has not fallen in love with me though. I'll be honest with you, Bill. I'm nowhere near Rodney Allen Rippey warmth.
Well, not yet.
Yeah,
that's
but
not, you, that doesn't happen overnight, Pete. You got to give that some time.
Well, you're 85. I'm not far behind you. So I'm doing well, Bill. It's great to have you here too. And
thank you.
You know, I want to say that what I thought was so funny in your first appearance on this show 2 years ago, you appeared as the first guest and you said off, you told me on air that off the air, Conrad threatened to kill you.
He said, if I didn't do a good job on your first show, he would kill me. And then he started calling the house in the middle of the night and threatening my family.
He's just looking out for me. I hope you know that.
No, I know that. I get it.
he's the kind of guy that has your back and is willing to go to the wall regardless, even if you're a nationally syndicated TV host.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's the guy you want on your side. You don't want to fight against him.
Exactly. He can bet. What can you bench now, Count? 280?
Seriously? Probably, that's probably, pretty good.
Yeah, he's a strong guy.
Yeah, one-handed or two-handed?
The fact that you had to ask that means you don't lift weights. But what I thought was funny is the fact that Conrad hasn't killed you yet or even showed right up at your doorstep or threatened your family. What do you make of that? Do you think it was an idle threat or you think he's playing the long game?
He's been to the house. He's not hurt anybody in my immediate family. He hurt one of my cousins a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
But I'm always afraid because you see a silhouette of a guy in your window and you're like, that guy's probably going to kill me. And then he's got a little flashlight that says it's Conrad. And I'm like, well, Conrad's not going to kill me because everyone suspects Conrad to kill me.
That wouldn't be a very smart move as a killer.
No. You've heard him threaten me on many occasions. So for him to do me in would be a ridiculous move, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Pete, you know what you said last time that really made me sad?
Oh, no. What?
You said that you and I have known each other for over 30 years, and it's been 36 or 37 years.
Yeah.
At this point. And you said, we've never had in all those years together an honest conversation. And I said to myself, I want to have it at some point. I want to just sit down and have an honest conversation. We don't have to do it now, but at some point we should just sit down and be very honest with each other.
And I hope it's not one of those things where we say we're going to do it, Bill, because it's just like chit chat.
No, we have to commit.
We have to sit down. And I would love to do that with you. I think we've got a lot to say.
Pick a time and place and I'm there. You know that.
Well, we could do it over your ping pong table, or you had that great place where you had to cook your own food, which I didn't understand. You took us to one time where we all had to make our own food. And I don't understand that concept, but it took off in Evanston, Illinois.
Yeah.
So
it's popular now.
It's popular to make your own food and pay someone else to do it. Yeah, it's
a good deal. When you look at it that way, Pete, it seems ridiculous. But at the time I thought, why would I let somebody else cook my food when I'm perfectly able to cook it myself? But then you pointed out it's more expensive that way. Right. Doesn't make sense fiscally.
I was adding it up as we went through and I, you know, didn't know if my meat was cooked or not.
Yeah.
Bill Leff is my guest. He is the host of the nationally syndicated Me TV show, Tune In With Me.
And I'm also on Stranger Things.
Oh,
do you watch Stranger Things? I'm on that now.
Just started again. You're in that show?
Yeah, I'm in that.
Are you the Demigorgon?
Yeah. There's this scene in the third episode where the Demigorgon goes to a restaurant and he cooks his own food. That's me.
He's a terrible cook.
You know, he's awful. Like,
but it wrote his character in that way.
They weren't thinking it through, I don't think.
So, Bill, tell me what's going on with what a great show you have. Tune In With Me. It's on every morning, and you got to be in heaven. These are shows you watched as a kid.
These are all the classic Warner Brothers cartoons from the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, all the old Popeye cartoons and Betty Boop cartoons and Bugs Bunny. And it's so much fun to do. And then I've also been added, I was kidding, you know, about Stranger Things, but I'm on Svengoolie's show too now. Did you know that?
I think you did mention that last time you were here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to follow up with that, about that with you. So
I play a character named Nostalgia Ferratu. He's like Nosferatu, but he loves old trivia stuff.
That's great. That sounds like a character that could be on Stranger Things. It's amazing.
That could be. He could be on Stranger Things. Yeah.
So you're a busy guy. That's two shows on the same network. That's
in the same planet.
Yeah.
But never too busy to be on your show, Pete. You know that.
Listen, I appreciate that very much. And I know you're joking, but you are a busy guy.
I'm not
and
joking.
I truly appreciate your time. Do you ever do stand up anymore?
No, it's been forever.
Yeah.
Do they still have stand-up? They still have it, right?
I think so. I think so.
Because that's what Nate Bargatze does.
No, he's more into the amusement park game now. He wants his own amusement park.
He wants his own amusement park. I saw that.
I think that's too much. Am I crazy?
Pete, I went to see him at the United Center about 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And the concept of a stand-up comedian working a sports arena was so foreign to me. It took me like the whole show to realize that it was real. Because we were used to doing rooms that were 200 seats and we were thrilled with it. And he's in the United Center and he beat the Toronto Maple Leafs the night I was there.
When he came skating out on that ice, it was
amazing. Just him against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That didn't seem fair.
He's a very funny guy, Bill, but what is with the, amusement park, Nateland. Yeah. That sounds like a Simpsons parody. That. Yeah.
Good for him, though, because he could probably get it done at this point, don't you think?
I would think so, if he's selling out the United Center. You just reminded me of something I thought was very funny. When I'm going to tell people, this is part of our honest conversation, maybe. This is the kind of guy Bill F. is. I won't say names or where this happened, but speaking of, we've been talking about The Godfather of Green Bay all week because of this screening coming up. But
sure,
we screened it in Chicago about 20 years ago. You and our pal Mike Toomey showed up.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that went on stage and you said, you leaned over to Mike and you said, "I hate that guy." And, you know, Mike Siegel was just here talking about what a nice guy you are. I've never heard you say a bad word about anybody. And you didn't even know the guy. But you said that to Mike. I knew the guy. And you were right. He was kind of a creep. And I'm like, that is so Stranger Things weird-esque. I couldn't believe it. And I've kind of held you in high esteem ever since.
Can I tell you the last time that happened besides the issue that you just brought up?
Yeah.
You're familiar, you're in Wisconsin, so you have to know about Kopp's Frozen Custard, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's my favorite place in the world. It's got the best ice cream, the best hamburgers. It's just perfect. So I was in there one time with my daughter, and this guy came in, and he was waiting in line, and he was karate kicking another guy in line. And I said to my daughter, "I hate that guy so badly, and I hope something horrible happens to him." My daughter goes, "Dad, you can't say stuff like that." And I go, "No, it took me 30 seconds to realize how badly I want this guy to get hurt in some weird way." She goes, "Dad, that's awful." But it was true. I did. And then other people in the restaurant were being really, you know, icked out by this guy. And they're moving away from him because he was trying all these Taekwondo moves. And I just went, a guy like that shouldn't be out in public. He should be locked up in a basement somewhere. So it does happen every once in a while. For the most part, I'm very easygoing. You know that.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, there's a guy karate kicking in Cops. You can't have that.
You have that quality. And I've said this about just a handful of people. I don't know Woody Harrelson, but everybody seems to want Woody Harrelson in their movie. He's just a likable guy. Tom Lennon was on the show last week. He's in everything. Like, there are just people that want nice people around and funny people. And I put you in that category, Bill. You always seem to have a radio show or a TV show, and it's because of the reputation you've built.
Well, it's mostly being in the right place at the right time, but I will accept your answer as a close second.
I want to remind you, while we're sort of on the subject of Wisconsin and you just mentioned Cops, a prank you did, and I may have brought this up the last time you were here, but I'm going to say it again anyway, because I've got seven new listeners since the last time you were here.
Oh, congrats.
You're welcome. Steve, Paul, Sue, Nancy, and Phyllis.
You know them by name. I do, That's tremendous.
you played a joke on a Wisconsin comedian called Fred Klett, who was a guy I worked with a lot. He used to bring me on the road with him, and not to work, just to hang out, but it was kind of weird. But Fred was a great guy, and he said he was on stage, and I'm going to set this up, and we'll do a short break, and I'll come back and give you the exciting finish.
Sure.
But Fred was on stage at Zany's in Mount Prospect, and you and our friend Paul Gilmartin played jokes on him. And they are gorgeous. So I'm going to tell everybody what those jokes were when we come back. Bill Leff is here. If you haven't checked out, tune in with me on the Meef TV network. You have to see it, folks. It's the cartoons from when we were kids. It's just a great way to start your day. And Bill is a great way to, it's just great to have Bill. Conrad, have you warmed up to Bill?
You know, he's done a great job, so I don't think I will.
He's not in danger.
I don't think I'll murder him.
Okay, perfect. We are coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hello, this is David Zucker, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. We've got some good text to get to. People do not like Indiana. So we'll read those coming up shortly. But it is one of those states it seems like you have to get through. But let us know what your least favorite state or city is, folks. It's Travel Tuesday, and that is our question of the night. Right now, I'm joined by my pal, Bill Leff. I'll just use the same joke I used with Mike. Bill and I have known each other for 35 years, been friends for about 9 years. So, Bill, it's great to have you. Do we have Bill?
I see
Rodney Allen Rippy on there, but I don't see Bill. Maybe he thought we were...
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Rodney. Bill, are you there? I think he's doing a bit because I can hear sound. Can you hear us, Bill?
Oh, we can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. Hey, buddy.
Hey, sorry about that. It cut out. I don't know why.
That's okay. So, all right, before the break, Bill, I was talking about you and Paul Gilmartin playing a joke on the very funny Milwaukee comedian Fred Klett, who was working Zanies Mount Prospect. And I think what happened, if I recall this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul told Fred that you didn't like him because you thought he was saying bad things about you or something. It was completely fabricated. And Fred was really taken aback because Fred, like you, he is the Milwaukee Bill Leff. He's a very nice guy. And Paul's the wild card in there because Paul will say anything. But he told you that you were going to put sugar in his gas tank to get back at him. And you weighed, you weighed, Zany's Mile Prospect was set up so the stage, you could see the door to the parking lot from the stage. And you waited till Fred was looking at you and you looked at him and went outside. And he thought you were going to put sugar in his gas tank. So great.
You know, the beauty of this is we're all grown-ups, right? We should all know better than to do stupid stuff like this. But it was more fun to do it than not do it, so we did it.
Absolutely. And I can't remember who. I think I was talking to Mike Schmidt or Pardo or somebody recently. And the fact, when you're on the road as a comedian and you go to a mall in the middle of the day with two other grown men, that just looks like trouble. It looks like guys on the lam. Or no one would guess you're comedians, but Steve Iatt and Jimmy Pardo and I played tag at the train station in St. Louis that had become a mall. We were running, and a grown man running is always a weird thing. Like, there's got to be a story behind that, you know? But you're right. Yeah. It was just fun times.
One time, Mike Toomey and I were doing exactly as you just said. We were on the road, and we decided that our mall visit would be enhanced by the fact that I had a small picture of one of my wife's sisters from when she was in grade school. So we went into each shop, and we said that we were junior G-men, and we were trying to track down this girl who was missing. She was at the Spencer's Gift, and then no one saw her after that. And everybody was so helpful, you know. We never found her, sadly, but everybody was very helpful.
The only thing that would have made that story better is if you went into every store and said, "Hello, Crime Stopper, we could use your help."
Next time.
We'll get that done. So great. I love that.
Yeah. It makes the week a lot more interesting, doesn't it?
Well, you got so much time to kill. You know what I mean? Like, I totally agree with you. You also, I can't remember the comedian you're working with, and I just invited you on the show to tell Bill Leff stories, which are always fun, but you said to the guy, you were the middle act, and the guy was a guy you didn't really know who was in town headlining, and he was kind of a hack, I think. You knew he was a hack, and you got off stage, and he didn't watch your set, and as you were heading out to the lobby, you said, "God, I don't know what the deal is. Mention cedar. They go nuts for cedar." And this guy tried to work it into his act. It was just getting stared at. And he's like, "Well, I know the cedar around here. You guys know all about that." And like, nothing, you know, like, beautiful.
See, now, when you look at it, when you analyze it, why would a person do something so horrid as that? But why wouldn't you? The opportunity's there, right? You got to grab it.
And that's how I think, like, you're such a nice guy, but you get your darker side out that way. You like to see a headliner dig a hole for himself for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Why not?
while we're on the subject, did you ever work with a comic, Bill, that you didn't like?
Oh, boy. A couple of times. I'm trying to think of who, if anyone stands out. Nobody really stands out. There were a couple times that, you know, maybe their viewpoint of what comedy was and mine were different, but that's all right, you know?
Sure.
But there wasn't anybody. There was a guy that sometimes you're forced into a comedy condo with somebody, and that can make for a long week. And I didn't have a car. I was working in Florida, and there was a guy there who wasn't very funny and wasn't very nice. And he kept saying to me, "Hey, let's have lunch. Let's have lunch." And we went and we had lunch one day, or we were looking for a place to have lunch, and I go, "How about this place?" And he goes, "Oh, because I'm a big guy, you think I'd like the all-you-can-eat buffet?" And it got weird from there. I mean, it started weird, but it got weirder. Oh, you know who else was a jerk was the Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, interesting.
I know he's no longer with us and it's bad to speak poorly of the dead, but he was not a nice man.
That's interesting. I worked with him like one show, but had no interaction with him. I know people like laud him like he's this great magician, comedian, the only successful right. guy who was actually funny, but I've never even seen his act. I think I just got the paycheck and left, you know.
He did that thing where, all right, so I was the middle act and he was the headliner. And he would always say, hey, how about another hand for this guy and for this guy? And then he would do jokes about the MC and myself. Oh. And I thought that's kind of cheap because we're already out of the show. We can't really comment on anything. And he did stuff like that all week long. And then on the last night, he goes, hey, if you come in early tomorrow, I'll take you out to dinner. And I went, why would I want to do that? I would rather have dinner with anybody but you. Why would I do that?
I'll insult you over food.
Right. That'll be different.
Hey, Bill, this was so much fun. Thank you again. Can you stick around after we go to break? I want to ask you something. Would you mind just hanging on for a second? Absolutely. Bill Leff, ladies and gentlemen, check out Tune In With Me on the MeTV network. It's a great
Happy
show.
Happy anniversaries, Pete.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being our first guest and now our most recent. That's fantastic stuff.
Thank you.
All right, Bill Leff, folks. Stick around, Bill. We are coming back for Act 3 after this, and I'm going to give you details on our Text to Win contest and Giving Tuesday, all kinds of great stuff going on. Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. It is so great to have you with me, folks, on this Wednesday night, coming to you live from Madison tonight. Right now, this is exciting, folks. I'm in Madison because tomorrow night we're having this great screening of The Godfather of Green Bay. It's a 20th anniversary screening sponsored by Downdrin's Distilling, the WMDX Morning Show, John and Gordy, and of course, Civic Media. It's going to be a really fun night. Hope you can join us. I've talked about it ad nauseum and had several cast members on to help promote the film. And right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time a truly fantastic actor with such credits as Dumb and Dumber, Picket Fences, Family Law, NCIS, and of course, the Godfather of Green Bay, the unbelievably talented Lauren Holly. Let's go. Lauren, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
Was that an okay intro?
That was a really good intro. I like that. I'd like to like get up every morning and hear that. I don't know. It'd make my day go really well.
We could send you a file.
Okay.
It's your day off, right? Hey, is there a Christmas carol?
And by the way, yeah, I was just going to say, I want to answer that question.
Please.
It better not be Deck the Halls.
Oh, wow. You're sick of that one.
No, I'm not sick of that one. That's like my song.
Oh,
Deck
that's
the Halls
so cool.
With Boughs of Holly. Oh. Are you kidding me?
How did I not see that? I think you told me that joke years
what
ago.
What is up with you?
That's awful. I've lost a step. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to say thank you to your manager who was very helpful in helping me find you to have you on the show. I used to have all your contact info, and I'm hoping you didn't change it because of me.
Well, now you know. But I figured that, you know, enough time has passed that I might be able to, you know, give you another chance. I just wasn't sure. Did you get the help you needed?
I'm all set. Thank God for medications. And I will not ask you to pal around constantly anymore. I know that was, it was like a kind of a what about Bob thing probably, but no, it's great to hear your voice. Great to be connected with you again. And we have this screening tomorrow and you were such a big part of that movie and finding you and casting you. And like I told you before, it was just like a trip down memory lane. And I'm finding all these pictures and all these people reminding me of these fun moments because, you know, like any movie you do, even as an actor, you watch it so much and then you don't watch it for a while. So I would love to get your thoughts on what it was like filming this movie in Northeast Wisconsin over 20 years ago now.
Well, okay, first of all, I loved the movie. I like never understood how it just didn't get there everywhere because I think it's really good and fun and I really liked it. And it's funny because I think about filming that movie so much because I had like a core memory experience on Godfather of Green Bay.
Really?
Yeah. I turned 40.
Oh, yeah, right.
Making that movie. And the night we were shooting at this like motel place.
Yeah.
And it was late. We were tired. We were doing night shoot. And all of a sudden someone was like, oh my God, look up. And it was Northern Lights. And I'd never seen them before.
Yeah.
And I do you remember we all just laid down in the parking lot.
Yes.
And we're staring up at these Northern Lights. And then somebody realized what time it was. It was like just after midnight. And you guys started singing Happy Birthday to me.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yes.
And I was staring at the Northern Lights having you sing Happy Birthday to me. And it was so amazing. And I like just think about that all the time. And recently there's been all these, you know, magnetic storms and whatnot and all these Northern Lights. And it's so weird because I've been in these locations that have been would have been amazing to see them, but it was like cloudy or whatever. Oh, wow. And all the time I'm thinking, thank goodness I saw them when we were making The Godfather of Green Bay. And then I quickly remember that we ended up in my hotel pool.
Yeah, that was at the end.
By
that was
dawn,
the, when we
with
wrapped.
Many bottles of vodka and my toddlers upstairs asleep with the nanny. So, you know. There you
know,
you have it.
First,
that's making movies.
Yeah, two things. I lip-synced Happy Birthday to you, so you're welcome for that. You didn't want to hear that. And Lance shared that same memory last week, and that was very special. And the vodka at the hotel, it was the Best Western in Marinette. And by the time we finished filming, you couldn't buy alcohol. So somebody, I don't know, pulled a Sam Kinison and rented a limo just so we could have vodka. But we were... We were, you and me and Dale, God rest his soul,
yeah.
And Brian were all in the hallway at the Best Western drinking vodka. And then the pool opened at like 6 a.m. and we all went swimming and doing cannonballs. Just a beautiful memory. It was, but there,
it was
that
a
whole
beautiful
shoot,
memory.
Yeah, there was all kinds of stuff like that. I remember when you got there the first day, you came up to me and you said, hey, my trailer, do you remember this? You had a view of something that was not very pleasant.
What was that?
It was a meatpacking plant. There were like these dead cow carcasses or something.
Oh,
right
God.
At your trailer.
Yeah, I think I've just suppressed it. I was like, you know, I can barely eat meat. I have to be in like denial. So it was just like horrible. My God.
It was so fun. And do you have, other than those, what do you remember, like, as far as actual shooting or the cast or a scene you did or, you know, a memory you have just being there? Because you were such a trooper. You did have your three kids with you. And I think that was the first film you had done in a while. You took some time off.
Yes.
And
they were all little, too.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That was crazy.
Oh, I loved it. I have various like flashing memories. I have memories of like being in the bar and just laughing at Tom Lennon.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the whole scene with Tony Goldwyn that we're like in a booth.
Right.
And he wore that mullet.
Yes.
And I remember we practiced in the parking lot, the Macarena.
Yeah.
Like, so much. I was like a Macarena pro. And the worst part was I loved doing it. I was like, let's do another Macarena dance scene. Let's do another one.
It's like, really, really funny that you say that because Mike Siegel, one of my best friends who you met back during when we were filming, played Tony or Big Jake's driver. He had a mustache and a mullet as well. And
right.
he made this great behind the scenes video. It's like 15 minutes long. It's on YouTube called Godfather of Green Bay Behind the Scenes. And all you guys talk, and Lennon's hilarious, and Eric Price and Lance and Tony says great things, and you were hilarious, but you were the best one at doing the Macarena because you're on that video doing the Macarena, and you just said that, and I could tell you really liked it. Yeah.
I got really good at it. I probably couldn't do it anymore, but it was very fun. It was very fun. I want to see that video, behind the scenes of Godfather of Green Bay. What?
Godfather of Green Bay behind the scenes, and it's on YouTube. And
okay,
it was like, I think Mike gave me a VHS or a DVD of it years ago, and now it's out there for everybody to see. And it's my kids have had a blast watching it, and it just takes you back. It's really fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to say this. Here's another memory I have that happened after. This is very funny. You and Brian Edding. And me, and I think your manager at the time, went to Dan Tana's, and we were eating dinner and having drinks and everything. And it was then, because part of your contract was you got to fly up there in a jet. And then it wasn't until then, like a year or 6 months after filming, where you said, by the way, and you went into this whole story about how the jet was not there to take you back. You're like, I get my three kids into the Piper. It's like a prop plane or something. And I had no idea, and I'm glad I didn't.
It was the scariest thing. It was like flying in a VW bus, like that someone rigged some propellers on. And it took us and it was windy out.
So
we were going really slow, and the pilot kept saying, "It's just because we're going in the headwind." It's funny.
I'm glad you made it.
I would never forget. But I remember too. I think I was like drugged at a bar with you.
Drugged?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Do you remember? Don't ask me why all of our stories have to do with alcohol. I don't have a problem with alcohol, I promise. But we went to some Mexican place.
Yeah.
You and I, like, just have dinner, talking, whatever. And I was supposed to be on the way to somewhere else, and we were just going to meet for like an hour. I think we were like trying to put together a pitch or something.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just meeting quick, and I had one margarita, and then I couldn't get up to walk out of the bar. And you sat with me in the parking lot for like 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember that? Because I was like, something happened. And it was before we knew all about that drugging stuff that people do to people's drinks.
Oh, my
God. I think it happened to me that night.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
I remember. And
I just remember being so thankful that you, Jack, sat with me because I was, like, scared to leave. I didn't know what to do. Like, the whole thing.
Wow.
I just didn't feel right. It was weird. I felt just really, like, out of my mind.
You know what? I'm actually a big sweetie, and now I'm kind of mad that you changed your phone number on me.
See?
I'm talking with Lauren Holly, folks. She is one of the stars of Dumb and Dumber, Picket Fences, and, of course, the Godfather of Green Bay. We are going to have more with Lauren in just a moment after this very quick break on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Glad you're here.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. All right. Let's go, folks. We are talking to Lauren Holly, the star of The Godfather of Green Bay. It's so great catching up with you, Lauren. I just wish you could be here tomorrow night. That would be so fun. You were telling that story before the break about, you know, you thought somebody slipped you something and I waited with you.
Yeah.
And the TV show where we were pitching something together.
Yeah.
How great of a TV show would that have been? I remember we had a lot of traction at a certain place, but then an executive left or something. But that would have been a really fun TV version to do.
I know. Yeah. I agree. People make bad decisions in this industry.
Indeed, they do.
They do.
Let me ask you something. You've been doing a lot of TV since The Godfather of Green Bay, and obviously a lot of movies too, but like NCIS, Family Law. What do you prefer, movies or TV?
I like the hybrid now, and I call it the hybrid, the streaming stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Because, you know, it just feels more creative in a way. I'm not sure. It's a little riskier somehow.
I agree. It's like hard to watch broadcast TV now sometimes because of the streamers, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not even sure how much broadcast television I actually watch anymore. Yeah. That's the truth. And it's probably a terrible thing for me to say because it's my bread and butter, but it's true. I don't really as much anymore. And all that means is that broadcast TV needs to start being a little riskier too.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. You've got a new movie, a couple new movies. You've got, this movie Ruby Road that I saw on IMDb Pro, it just sounds like a really heavy role. I think you play a recovering cancer patient. How do you like those roles compared to some of the more lighthearted ones you've done?
You know, it's funny because that role in whether it's called Ruby Road, Rust Belt Ruby, I'm not sure. It is light in a way. I know that sounds crazy, but my character in it's really a ball of energy, and the movie's about Frances Fisher, who is sick and worked in the coal mines in her whole life and goes to reconnect with, you know, the people that she loved, and in the economy that so many in the, you know, in the country are facing and whatnot. It's a real sort of statement on the times. And I play her sister. And I work in a Dollar General, and I love, I don't know, a lot of people would always say to me, you play like fancy characters, you're very fancy, and I'm not. And I really, you know, roles like this, I really love because it feels more like my unfancy self, I guess.
Oh, that's so interesting you say that, because I remember your first day on the set with me, I said, do you have any questions about your character? And you said, no. You said, I grew up, you know, around people like this. I'm from a small town. I think it was Geneva, New York. And you were like, I totally get these people. So I totally believe that when you say that. That's fantastic.
It's still my favorite place. Yeah. I live in Toronto now, and I'm only 3 hours from Geneva. And I go all the time. And my best friend of 52 years is there.
Wow. So I don't think, even when we were pitching stuff, I don't think you lived in L.A., so I don't think you've lived there full time. Do you not? Are you have an aversion to Los Angeles, or are you just like the real world?
No. And now in my life, I'm actually in LA almost like a few months of the year, mainly in the wintertime. To get out, it's like a weather related situation. No, I guess it's just how life kind of took me, and then it just became clear that it wasn't necessary really to be in LA as much anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I
ask every guest I have, basically, we talk about movies and TV and comedy every night. Mm-hmm. What are you watching? Mm-hmm. Anything you could binge watch before we let you go?
Let's see. I have to be honest. First of all, I'm a huge sports freak.
I remember that.
So I've been majorly involved in sports, watching sports. I don't miss sports that much. And I have a hockey game and a basketball game on the same time tonight, so I'm a little frustrated.
Oh, boy.
But I have a whole list on a clipboard of shows that I've been going through. And the latest one I watched is All Her Fault. And I'm trying to decide if I start The Beast in Me.
Hmm. I haven't seen either one. You're nodding, Dom. Is that good? Have you seen that?
It's really good.
Oh, really?
Really, okay. Really.
Which one? Which one's really good?
The Beast in Me?
Yep, The Beast.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got to check both
good.
Of them.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out and see. I watch a lot of sports documentaries and shows like Face Off on Amazon Prime that takes two hockey players.
Oh, nice.
And tells their story each episode. I don't know. I'm like a sports fanatic.
That's fantastic. So basically, you couldn't do the show live because you had a hockey game to watch. That's what I'm taking away from it.
No, the reason I couldn't do the show live is because I have ADR to do.
Oh,
so
nice.
Because I just finished a movie and that's working into this slot right now. Fun movie. It's called Broad Trip.
Me yeah, when Sophia, does that come out?
I think it's another spring one. It's okay. Me and Sophia Bush, and it's a mother-daughter road trip comedy.
Oh my gosh. That's perfect for you. Uh-huh. That's fantastic. Uh-huh.
It's really fun.
I actually read for the daughter, but they said I didn't have the acting chops. So good for
you know,
Sophia.
You're all, see, that's what I mean, man. That's why I had to take away my phone number.
Yeah. Stop asking me to get you in movies, Pete. Yeah. Hey,
you always
are...
want to play my daughter.
It sounds like a challenge. You're fantastic. It's great to be back in touch. Thank you for taking a chance on me and Brian Edding and the script, which turned into a really fun little film. And a lot of it is because of you, my friend. And I can't thank you enough for doing the movie and joining
it.
Me here tonight. Yeah, thanks so much.
I hope people go see it. I hope they'll have fun. I think audiences love that movie.
Thanks, Lauren. Have a great night watching hockey, doing ADR, all the fun stuff. And don't be a stranger. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye, Pete.
All right. Bye. Oh, that's Lauren Holly. All right. We're going to do the news and come back for Act Two. And more. I got a celebrity chef coming up. So stick around for that, folks. And I'm going to tell you more about where you can give for Giving Tuesday. Just because it's Wednesday doesn't mean you can't still give. But we are coming back after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.